Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Amen is right. Take your seat, get your Bible, let's talk. I just want to share with you something that sounds really boring. It's called responsibility for the temple. Responsibilities for the temple is kind of a funny little subject. But what if I was to say that I'm talking about you? You see, when I use the word temple, most people that are Christians think of a building or a place where God's at. Most of them. Probably 90% of the people, when I used the word temple just a moment ago, really don't understand how they fit into this and really don't understand what the Bible says about really the temple of God. We think of these buildings and these structures that are elaborate, that house God and the systems and religious ceremonial rituals that men put on, when in fact that's not exactly what we're talking about. Let me define for you some information so that you can get it in your thinking. When you read in your Old Testament, you will see that the word tabernacle. The word tabernacle means just a temple, if you will, that's made out of a tent that is able to be transported. It's a removable temple, and that's why they called it a tabernacle. It was made out of a tent, and there they would meet the high priest and do the offerings on to the Lord, and there the Lord would meet up with the high priest. The work of the ministry went on. The value of the presence of God was in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, when you hear the word and read it in your Bible, the word tabernacle is a word that just means a portable tent that they went, and that was the place where God met up with his priests, in the tent. Kind of fascinating. It wasn't until the time of David bringing the ark back into Jerusalem that you'll find that David now wants to build not a tabernacle, a tent, a movable, portable place where God meets up with man in the temple or tabernacle, but a temple, a house of God. And here we find that David is making a petition to the Lord. And he says, Lord, he says, I want to build you a house. And God really appreciates that about David. God's not against it, but David couldn't be the one to build the house. The Bible makes very clear that David had too much blood on his hands in order to build something as holy as the house. But David was going to pay for a majority part of that house to be built. It wasn't David who was assigned by God to build the house or now the tabernacle that becomes a temple, a permanent place where God could meet up with man and his high priest and his priests. And there the ritual, there the ceremonies, there all of the activity between God and man takes place in this temple called the house of God. And David wanted to build it, but he couldn't build it. And his son Solomon was assigned by God to build the house of God, which is really fascinating. But David was to accumulate great wealth. David, being such a phenomenal king and such a phenomenal leader, brought prosperity to his people. You will find where there's great Christian godly leadership, the people just prosper. Their lives prosper, their homes, their marriages prosper. David brought great commerce into the Jerusalem, great import-export business. People got rich, doubled the boundaries of Israel, if you will. It was an amazing thing. And David himself got very, very wealthy. Tons of gold and tons of silver. And when it came time to build the temple that he couldn't build, but his son Solomon was going to build the temple, David was the major contributor to the building of the temple. It's kind of a fascinating thought that here the temple is going to and wants to be built by the father, but the son is the one who builds the temple, but the father is the one who supplies the resources for the son to build the temple. Of course, he had his own wealth also added to that. And just like with us today, it's the same thing. Father wants to build a temple, and his son Jesus builds the temple. And his son Jesus is the one who gets the wealth and the power to build the temple from the Father. So prophetically, it's being stated. Now, in order to understand this today, as we go somewhere, I want you to realize that with the temple, there goes responsibilities. The temple was not just built. It's not a building. The temple is a place of great godly responsibilities. There's a way that the temple is supposed to be. David had so much gold and had to have it inlaid and had to have it worked into the walls and into the seats and into the doors and over the doors. And everything was designed by the father, David. But the son built it with the gold of the father. Interesting prophetic expression. And the responsibility of the temple becomes utmost important. When we read the scripture, oftentimes we don't really read the scripture and think about what it's saying. We think of it as like a little story, but what it's saying is a similitude. It's something in the physical that took place in the Old Testament. The building of this temple of God with all of his gold is really a similitude of what takes place spiritually in the New Testament. And you and I are New Testament people. And we have to understand that God's not looking for a physical building with his wealth in it. God has built now through the Son a building that houses the wealth of the Father also. And what's a surprise to everybody is that word temple now isn't a building, doesn't refer to a place, doesn't refer to a structure. The word temple now refers to you, if you're born of the Spirit of God. And so the responsibilities of the temple in the Old Testament, the responsibilities are similar, but even greater in the New Testament, to the new temple that is the temple of the people who house the very presence of God as the temple of God. And the responsibilities there must be defined, and we, as believers, must understand how we fit into it. Yeah. All right. So when I look at the title of the message, Responsibilities for the Temple, you could question me and say, responsibilities of the temple. No, it's for the temple. It's what you and I have got to start seeing ourselves as in order to live and be what God's called us to be, for we are the one that houses God. And until you get a concept of that, you will keep living like everybody else in the world. So some things for us to know tonight that I want to just point out. Everything starts with know. Responsibilities for the temple. Here's number one. You got to know the temple. If you don't know the temple, you'll always be looking for a building or a structure or some kind of edifice that some man builds or some kind of facility that houses some kind of religious activity. But if you know who the temple really is, and God defines, if you're born of the Spirit of God, who the temple really is. In 1 Corinthians, you ought to turn there with me in the third chapter, verse number 16. It starts off with a question. Do you not know? I don't know about you, but when God asks the question, do you not know? He's really asking a question by saying, haven't you figured this out yet? Don't you really know something? Have you really seen something take place? You've seen the Old Testament. You heard for years about the Old Testament. You heard what they did. You heard about how the Father wanted to build. The Son built it, brought the gold from the Father, gave it to the Son so the Son could have the gold. And the gold and wealth was built into the temple. Wow. And now he comes along and says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And just like God dwelled in the temple of the old days and the tabernacles as it was being moved from place to place, as Israel moved from place to place, God now has a temple that is also on the move, and it's you. And the very first thing all of us have got to understand every day when you wake up, you're not a person that just is a nobody. You're not some kind of a loser. You're not some kind of a failure. You're not some kind of a, you know, no good throwaway. You are. If you're born of the Spirit of God, I don't care what you look like. I don't care how smart you are. I don't even care if you took a shower today. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Today on this earth, you are the one that houses the value of God. You are the one that displays, and God's value is built into you. And God's worth is built into us. And we don't know that, man. We'll go along the rest of our life looking at ourselves as failures, wondering what happened to us. When in fact, man, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Second thing we got to know, you got to know who owns the temple. If you don't know who owns the temple, you will think you own it because it's your body. And if you think you own it, that means you think you can control it. It really doesn't work that way. While you're there in 1 Corinthians, instead of the third chapter, go to the sixth chapter. Verse number 19, it says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" In other words, God owns you. When you gave God all of your heart, you didn't just give it to him and take it back and you have responsibilities for it. It now belongs to God. God has the responsibility. You've got to turn the reins of your life over to God. No longer are you one who owns yourself. No longer are you calling out the shots. No longer are you dictating what should be happening. You are now owned by God. And you belong to him. Temples who house the value of God and carry it like a tabernacle from place to place. That's kind of a wild thought. I love it. And you are not your own. You know, we give our hearts to God all the time. But oftentimes we take it back right after we give it. We give our hearts and lives to God. We say, okay, that's fine. And then as soon as we feel that something's out of control, we try to take it back and try to work it in such a way so we can get our... Listen, we don't own this thing. The Bible says the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. In other words, he knows how to put your steps in line. He knows what's good for you and good about you. He has now built you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he has deposited his wealth inside of you, whether you feel it or not. You belong to him. Stop trying to govern your own life. Turn it over to God and let God be God. I think those are the most phenomenal words you can ever have. Let God be God. Not very many people want God to be God. They want to take over themselves. But this Christianity didn't work till you let God be God. Are you following me? So we find out that we know the temple. We are the temple. We find out that who owns us happens to be God. No longer us any longer. Number three, what we responsibilities for the temple. You got to know who to associate with the temple. Know who associates with the temple. The temple would not allow any garbage in it. The temple doesn't allow it to be in any place but a holy place. And we forget all the time with our associations as Christians. And I think one of the sad parts of Christianity is today, you can't tell a Christian from the world. You can't tell it by their talk. You can't tell it by their walk. You can't tell it by whether they carry their Bible. Most of you haven't even got a Bible coming to church. In this wild church, you can't even carry a Bible. Man, because you feel funny walking across the parking lot carrying your Bible? Come on. Remember, we're talking about, man, if you're fervent for God, God will be fervent for you. What you sow, you shall reap. Remember, we talked about that earlier? It's time to get a Bible and get serious with God. And who you associate, what are you doing mixing yourself up with people that you shouldn't be mixing yourself up with? What are you doing hanging around people you shouldn't hang around? What should you do running your business circumventing where you're compromising in your standards of integrity? What are you doing? cheating on your taxes. What are you doing? Do you know that when you have to cheat to do something or walk in some form of lack of integrity, what you're really saying is you don't need the money. You're really saying you don't trust God. I got to do this to get it because I can't trust God to give it to me. I can't see how it happens, but that's what faith's all about. It's not seeing how it happens, but knowing it's going to happen. And when we cheat to get somewhere, or we associate with people we should not be associating with, we ruin our lives because we're really saying we don't trust God. And in the temple is a very holy place. Place not to be messed with. If there was sin going in the temple, man, people died. We just treat it like it's unimportant. But I want to take you, if I may, I've got you in Corinthians anyway. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, this time as we go to 2 Corinthians, let's take a look at the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And this time, as we look at the 6th chapter, let's look at verse number 16. Verse number 16 of the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" Now listen to this. Idols are anything the world worships that's contrary to the ways of God. Wait a minute. That's when you and I operate something different than the ways of the Lord. It's an idol. And he says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." My goodness. There's a responsibility there to make sure that we stay in the right spot. Not messing around, not compromising, not walking on both sides of the fence, not cheating in our businesses. And I talk to some of you businessmen. You listen to me just for a moment. Just because you can get money in a business transaction doesn't make it a good business transaction. A business transaction is not how much money you make. It's how much you hold up the standard of God. Because it's not about how much money you make, it's how much of the standard of God you have in the business transaction in order for God to come in and bless the business. Our bottom line for most of us is how much money we can make. And it's not about how much money you can make, it's how much godliness you can bring into the situation. Then God comes in, and money's never the issue. We got it all backwards. And we wonder why God doesn't bless our businesses. We overcharge for things. We walk in idolatry towards stuff. We cheat people instead of being fair with people. We think to ourselves, well, they can afford it. I'll just get it from them. Let me tell you something. The moment you do that, you're walking out of integrity and you're walking in a lack of integrity. And what you're really saying is what you want is that money, but you don't trust God for it. You got to cheat somebody else for it. And he says these words, "And what agreement has the temple of God with stuff that isn't of God?" See what I'm saying? It goes a long ways in all of our lives. But see, these are the things that hook on to, because if you don't understand these principles, this is why it's so good. You may not like them, but if you don't understand these principles, listen to what I'm going to say to you. And you operate in them, you'll wonder why God doesn't bless you. And you want God to bless you. God wants you to make a profit, but it better be a fair one. And in every transaction, there is God, you, and that other person. And if you and the other person agree, does not mean that God's involved in it. Doesn't matter if the two agree. I agree to put this fence in for this much money. And the guy says, well, I guess so. I'll pay you. Two people agreed. God, you ought to be in this one. Oh, no, not if you are out of line with your amount of profit. God will not get into an unjust situation. He is not a thief. And there's something fair always. And if we don't understand that, guys, here's what happens. We get into greed, then we have an agreement with something called an idol. Wanting the money instead of wanting the presence of God. In the temple always comes the presence of God. The only thing that will stop your blessings if you stop the presence of God. And if you don't understand those principles, you'll keep thinking, wow, I'm making lots of money, and the devil will let you make lots of money. And then all of a sudden, someday, bang, the door slams, and you say, what happened? God wasn't in it. I'm mad at God. He doesn't answer my prayers. I'm frustrated with God. He just really ticks me out. I'm just really disappointed. I don't understand this. I did that church thing. It didn't work. I did that tithe thing. It didn't work. Listen, man, you had an agreement with an idol. And the temple can't have this. Anybody listening? It's always got to be fair. Fair is not based on what everybody else is doing. Fair is based on what God says is fair. Without that, it just doesn't work. We've tried to run this church fair. Every area of our life. Even going overboard with people to be fair with them. Every area. And that's why God has blessed us as He has. Number four, we're talking about responsibilities for the temple. No respect for the temple. A lot of times we don't understand the respect level that God's expecting from all of us. If you don't know the respect level of the temple, you will treat the temple as common. Now you say, I don't understand what you just said. Let me say it again. If you don't know the respect level of the temple, you will treat the temple as common. And when you do, God's no longer in it, and you no longer get blessed. Are you following me? Ephesians, second chapter. Let's check it out. In Ephesians, the second chapter, when you get there, go to the verse number, last three verses, verse number 20. And He worked Christ, and He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand. I'm sorry, second chapter, verse 20. I was reading the wrong verse in the wrong chapter. Here it is, verse number 20. And having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, speaking of the temple, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. If you don't understand that all of us play a part, you won't respect everybody. Now watch this, verse number 22. In whom also are being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, which is the temple. We need each other. And the respect to the temple is a respect that we have for others that call themselves Christians. I'm not here to judge them. I'm not here to categorize them. I'm not here to say one thing about them one way or the other. If they call themselves Christians and are born again, they are part of the temple of God. And all of us together, being built together for the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And if we don't respect that, God will shut our door. Are you listening to me? And that's why we get down on our knees and pray for other churches. A man came to me from another church today. I was talking with him. He says, I'm amazed that you pray like you do for other churches. I said, I just asked him. I said, you mean your church doesn't do that? He looked at me with a big smile. And he said, no. I said, oh, well, we just decided we're going to be people who love each other. Respected. This is what I was thinking. Respecting the temple. There's different members of the temple. Let's respect it. Is anybody listening? Last one. Let's talk about this. Last one. This is the last one for tonight. I'm completely finished. We're talking about responsibilities for the temple. Last one. Knowing the functions of the temple. If you don't know what the temple is supposed to be like, how can the temple ever be? Now, if it's just a building sitting there, even this building has a function. And we know the function of even this building, but we don't know the function of our temple, us. And if you don't know that, my goodness sakes, my friends, how in the world are we ever going to be the people who are operating in the responsibilities for the temple? So here's what I'm going to say to you. You must know the function of the temple in order for you to function as the temple. And without that, you're never going to understand that. But here's what 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse number 5 says. Just pop it up on the overhead. Let's check it out. And you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. That's the temple. Watch this. Now listen to this. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now wait a minute. To offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's a mouthful. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. The word sacrifice is denying you what you want for what He wants. You understand that? The word sacrifice simply saying, I'm giving up what I want, God, for what you want. And what I'm giving up is what I want, but I know what you want is different than what I want, but I'm giving up me for you. Because this is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You know what he just said in that mouthful? That we as the temple need to be in maturity. Maturity, God was ministering this to me this morning. I was sitting there writing as fast as I could about the subject of maturity. And maturity, here's what God spoke to me this morning. Maturity is not how old you are in something and how long you've been around. Maturity is whether or not you respond as a godly person in the times of pressure. Will show whether you're mature or not. So in order for me to offer up spiritual sacrifices, something that I want, I give up for Him what He wants. That which He wants is acceptable to Him, and I offer it through Jesus. In other words, I'm offering up a mature lifestyle that no matter what comes on me, good, bad, or indifferent, great or not great, fits with my thinking or doesn't fit with my thinking, I'm still here. I'm still going forward. You're not shaking me. I'm still going on with God. And I'm still praising Him, even though I'm sacrificing myself for the praise that's due Him in the midst of a problem. And that's maturity. So tonight, I'm finished. So let's just cover this for a second. In order for us to take the responsibilities of this position that God has placed us in to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to know that we are. Not because you feel like it or look like it. You are the temple of God. You are wall to wall Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? And where you go, God goes with you. Number two, you're going to have to know who owns you. We're owned by God. Our life is no longer our own, but what He wants for us. Number three, you're going to have to know the associations with the temple. Who can we associate with? Can we associate with that which is contrary to the ways of God and still remain the temple? Won't be long before you're no longer a pure, holy place for God. You got to break some associations. Some of you in this place, and you know it. As much as you've called them friends, they're dragging you down the tube to hell. And you don't even know when it's subtle, and you need to break your associations in order for you to be what God would have you to be. Number four, you got to know respect for the temple. We're all in this together, and we're all part of the temple. Whether they go to our church or don't go to our church, if they proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're part of the body of Christ. They are the temple of God. We need to love them and respect them. Whether they love or respect us or not is not the issue. Number five, you've got to know the function of the temple. And that was where we offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Laying our life down for what we want, for what He wants. Tonight, a little bit at a time goes into your spirit. Each time we gather together, a little bit more of God goes in. A little more understanding, a little more wisdom, a little more clarity on how to get to where God would have you to go and be what God would have you to be. A little more that keeps you strong through the day and through the week and through the month. Growth comes and get stronger every time we gather together because the Word of God is the basis of what we do. And so today, you that are born of the Spirit of God, there is a responsibility for you to live as the temple of God. If God spoke to you tonight, give Him a great big praise, the Lord. We do that. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Isn't that good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.